In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. I trust that you're having a good morning today. Wherever you are, maybe in your car, maybe already at work, maybe fixing some lunches, have no clue what you're doing. God does, and your day is important to Him. I remember a radio broadcaster that used to end every broadcast, "Have a good and godly day." For what benefit is a good day if it's not a godly day? He didn't quite say it that way, but that's what sticks in my mind, and I trust that today will be a good and godly day for you. And Dr. Rich Schmidt is in the studio with me again this morning. Dr. Rich, welcome.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Pastor. I just got to say this for our listeners. Dr. Greg Huffman, pastor here at Brookside Baptist Church. We've really developed a friendship over the years. I consider him a mentor and just a wonderful individual that has tremendous counseling experience. I love him dearly. And that's going to set us up, if you will, what I just said for the next three broadcasts. Because you, Pastor, are one of the premier counselors. You understand people. I see you relate to people of all ages, from the senior citizens down to the youngest little toddler. And somehow you and your lovely wife, Ruth, you just manage to understand people, deal with them, and lead them in the right paths. So I'm really looking forward to these next couple of broadcasts and tapping into your expertise.
Okay. Sounds good.
With that said, we've been working on the three institutions that God ordained, and the last three broadcasts we discussed mainly government and the church. Well, we're going to go back to the first institution that God created, which is the family. The family, I believe, and I think Scripture attests to it, Pastor, and you can, of course, add into your thoughts here. The family is the basis for everything. Mom and dad are the ones who go day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, establishing, if you will, the values, the ethics, the moral, the biblical training for their children. So I see the family as extremely important. How do you see it?
Well, I agree, because the foundation of your government, the foundation of your church, is the foundation of the home. And as husbands and wives are learning how to communicate, learning how to listen, it's interesting to me, we take speech classes in school, but we never take listening classes. I think that would be a good idea, because that is really what we need more than anything in our homes, in our marriage relationships, the ability to listen without interrupting, to listen, to understand, and not just to respond, but how to truly understand someone's heart as they're sharing with us. And you know, you would think that as much in love as these couples are when they stand before the preacher and they say, want 'em, got 'em, you know, and the marriage takes place and they walk out and they're just all smiles, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful day. And I often will say to them while I'm doing the six premarital counseling sessions, you guys probably aren't going to pick up a whole lot through these times because you're so much in love, you don't really hear what I'm saying. Come back and check with me in 6 months.
Well, that's very interesting. And I've been to a lot of weddings, and I know you've conducted a lot, and how true that is. I think you've hit on something here, Pastor. And first of all, for those of us who basically in ministry public speak, I mean, that's what we do. We talk a lot.
Sure, right.
You brought up a good point about learning to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the privilege of speaking, if you will, in public a lot, but I don't like this, but you know, my mom used to always say, God gave you two ears and one mouth, which means you ought to listen twice as much as you speak. Now, that's not real good for preachers, but it makes a lot of sense for the family.
That is so true. I did my doctoral dissertation on pastoral burnout.
Okay.
And one of the things that we studied on the pastors that actually burned out was they felt like they had to be doing most of the talking most of the time. In fact, the pastors that burned out, the percentage of controlling the conversation was 94%.
Wow.
They only allowed 6% of the conversation time to be controlled by somebody else.
Well, that's a great insight. And, you know, I'm going to go someplace where maybe we as people in the ministry don't want to go to, but I think we should touch on that because, you know, our listeners sometimes look at pastors as, you know, that's the closest thing to God that exists. You know, and they put the pastors up on a pedestal and missionaries and preachers and maybe Christian school workers and so forth. But that's very interesting. So what you're telling me, Pastor, is that if godly leaders, or what should be godly leaders in ministry, aren't practicing what we're going to discuss today, that there's actually pastors that have marital problems?
Exactly. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the qualifications of becoming a pastor is being able to lead his family well and rule his family, okay?
Yes.
Same thing is true with deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So if I am to lead the church in the same way that I lead my home, I don't know many husbands who lead their homes by doing all the talking, none of the listening, and then go ahead and make all the decisions. You don't stay married long if that's your attitude. And the same thing is true concerning pastors. We need to be listening a whole lot more than we're necessarily talking, so that when we do talk, we have words of wisdom.
I hope that's encouraging to our listeners, because they could be very discouraged or very encouraged by that. They're like, well, goodness, if these individuals that are in the ministry and they've studied the scriptures and theology and they've been to Bible school and seminary, these should have it, their act together. So from a negative standpoint, it's like, well, good night. If these people who had all this training are having difficulties, what do you expect's going to happen with my marriage? I haven't gotten all that training.
Right.
But on the other hand, and here's the side I hope the folks buy into, every single person, no matter what you've been, no matter what your training, we're all individuals that have a human nature. And though we've, as Christians, have trusted Christ as our Savior, and we've picked up the Holy Spirit, if you will, who indwells us, we can still mess up. Is that true?
Well, because we have pride. And pride is the bottom line. It's kind of like King Saul. He was so humble that even when they wanted to anoint him to be the first king of Israel, they couldn't find him. He was hiding. But then as time went along, he began to get so pumped up in his own opinion of himself that he just basically made total choices contrary to the Word of God. Pride is something that we mess up in our homes, in our marriages, because we feel like, I've had all this education, I've had all this training. And sometimes, Dr. Rich, church members can be so thrilled with their pastors that they do put them on a pedestal, and it becomes a pedestal problem, because then at that point, the pastor starts looking around and says, hey, kind of like it up here. This is nice. And so his head begins to grow, and pride begins to develop, and that, of course, is going to bring him low. God says, I'm going to resist the proud, but I'll give grace to the humble.
Of course, for our pastor and preacher friends listening, I think we can all learn a good lesson from that. But I think we have a biblical lesson that will help every single person. And a lot of folks struggle with their marriages. Let's take a look at the principle you just brought out from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, here it comes, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Here's exactly what you just talked about, Pastor, in Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. What that passage says to me, Pastor, is that every single person needs to realize that they don't belong on God's throne.
Right.
And when whoever it is, whether it's a person who maybe is just learning about Jesus Christ or the most seasoned preacher, every single person has to struggle with this pride issue. It's me first. It's the philosophy, have it my way. Everything should be done the way I want it. A very narcissistic, self-centered lifestyle.
Right.
So if I place myself, if you will, on that pedestal, and I take my wife and put her, let's use a wedding cake as an example. The wedding cake usually has a husband and wife statue, if you will, sitting on top of the cake. At least a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when, after you get married, only one of the two people is allowed to stay on the top tier and one of the people is knocked off the top tier and put on the lower tier? What happens to that marriage?
Well, it's basically a picture of the selfishness of the individual. I have often wondered, when the wedding cake is being cut, why do they smash cake in each other's faces? That, in my mind, doesn't really start out with thoughtfulness and kindness, you know, and it's kind of like, I'm going to get you attitude from the first day. And you go back to this passage where he says, be the same love, same accord, same mind, and then he tells us how. He says there, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now, the word let there means you have a choice. So everything that takes place in our marriage, I can either choose strife and vainglory, or I can look inward. Key words there, look inward. Then says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's looking upward at others. Then it says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. That's looking out to others. But it starts with the looking inward. And I can't have the right attitude of looking at my wife or looking at my spouse unless, first of all, I look inward and I determine, when pride sticks up its ugly head, I need to recognize that through the power of the Holy Spirit and immediately say, only by pride comes contention. And so many arguments and fights are a result of my prideful attitude. Somebody described arguing as two deaf people yelling at each other.
That's very telling. If you're listening today and you truly are having marital issues, it usually boils down to one of three things, but we're going to hit that one major thing as we close out this morning. Who's on the throne?
Yes.
If you, whether it's the husband, whether it's the wife, want to be on the top part of the wedding cake and kick the other person off and have the priority, I hate to tell you, you're going to struggle. You're going to have problems. But if you willingly try to put the other person, if you will, in that top position and you support them in that top position, it's pretty hard to fight somebody if they're supporting you, Pastor.
Because once you do that, then your life's purpose is to minister to them, to lift them up, to make them feel important. And guess what they are going to want to do? Lift you up, minister to you, make you feel important. And so consequently, it becomes the ministry of marriage. And that's exactly what marriage is in God's eyes. Till the next time, and Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.